For you read, let's hear for the God, as to later on to them, knowledge you cross it, as we hear his words, I hear them with ears of faith, my be Jesus Christ and scriptures, and glory to God and his gracious. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy, whose truth that you are so tender, and which we have, in the heavenly Father, from every age of which we read of your mercy and your grace, yes, you are, O God, whose perfect righteousness, and you will judge and damn the wicked. Heavenly Father, you are also the one who sent your love son in the world, save the poor yourself, that you are the one who chose them from eternity, as the Ephesians chapter tells us clearly, that you are the one that is all the person of our life possible, that we are simply bad to read these wonderful salvation, most especially we thank your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom there is peace, through shed blood and riches. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit be with us, as we always scripture and meditate on truth, that your Holy Spirit will be in us, he would defeat us, and he will lead us in the path of righteousness for your sake, but also for our grace and his pleasure, for it is true joy to have fellowship with you, and that is what we seek, that is what we yearn for today, fellowship with you, even through your son, Lord Jesus Christ. Same pray, amen. I am from the Bible, I the pages I printed from them. This is the account of Gabriel coming to Zachariah in the temple, Zachariah's ministry there, and Gabriel gives Zachariah a wonderful message, the message of the King Redeemer. And this is how our passage begins. In the days of Herod, King of Judea, there was a person named Zachariah, of the division of Abia, and he was away from the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were all righteous before God, walking blindly all the commandments of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both commands eight years. Now, while he was serving three before God, when the division of the custom of the priesthood, he and Zachariah was chosen by law to answer the temple of the Lord and her incense. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside the hour of business. And they appeared to him, an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of business. And Zachariah trembled and thought him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zachariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife will bear a son. You shall call his name John. You will have joy, gladness, and joy his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink water or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And will train the children of Israel to the Lord God. And he will be before him in spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the obedience to wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord the people prepared. And Zachariah said to the angel, how shall I this, for an old man, and my wife is advanced in years? And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel, saying in the presence of God, I send seed to you and to bring you this good news, and behold, you will be silent, and I will speak of the day that these things take place, because you will not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. The people waited for Zachariah, and they were wondering as they lay in the temple. When he came back, he was able to see to them, and they realized that it's sufficient temple. And he got into them, and remained mute, and when his time was certain, he went to home. After these days, while he was conceived, and was captured in saying, thus the Lord is under me, and days he looked on me, to take away my reproach among people. This is the word of the Lord. May our minds be open to the great truth that contained here, and as we ponder these words, may our hearts minister to the work of the Holy Spirit, the third person of Trinity. Well, it's a delight to be with you this morning. My name is Mark Wilson, one of the associate pastors at Grace Church. We'll talk about associate pastors, as well as the pastor, Jack Kingwood. Brian, the other associate pastor, is the one to take care of Leslie County. He's the provost of the teachers there, serves as the administrator as well. And my role at Grace is to do congregation life. I also have a here in this time mentioned that I also minister at the local hospice and Seagrass, where I go 4 times a week and see those who are dying. And the family's minister as well. Well, I'll be having the last for the young ones, and the other guy is last for youth. I do some preaching as well, and do a lot of home visits that I'm doing. Past years, going to all the schools. Some of them have one person as well as the other people. But I really enjoy work having history in that church, and the Rangers came to faith with my wife, and the Lord was so gracious to us. And even though we entered in a church that really walked away in faith and caused us to not shop, there are many people who remain in the United Church Canada, it's hard to be faithful to the Lord and the denomination that is not God. So I urge you that you also might urge you to pray for the whole United Church people there. The denomination is sinking rapidly, it's the whole been reached by the United States and sinking rapidly. There are faithful people, and by God's grace, they can be true men of the church, and it's faithful church, and they reach. Please pray for those people, they might have the boldness to do from that denomination and come to faith in the nation. And this is terrible to today's message, because today we are pondering, looking at, studying the person of that right, a faithful man, the Bible describes him as a faithful man, we know that he is faithful, because he said he was righteous, walking before the Lord in his commands. Zachariah is a faithful man. He was writing about society because he trusted God's promise of the Savior, and he had the Holy Spirit superintending his actions because he was walking blindly before the Lord. And that is another regular term that the Bible uses to describe some who is in the process of sanctification. They are walking with the Lord. Walking is sanctified today, and Hebrews had that in mind when they thought sanctification that the man alone who is sanctified is the one who walks with the Lord, through his life, through all the avenues of life, and walks so blindly, not because of some sort of righteousness, but only because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that in their success. And that's how we sanctify who, in the new we are made right by Christ, and we are caused to be walking in the path of righteousness by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God so gracious and soul, and he continues to save people and sanctify them. And yet, Zachariah was not a perfect man. Although he came from a very illustrious family, he was of Abia's family, and his wife too was from a illustrious family, she was from a little family. So these were truly blue-blooded people, Elizabeth and Zachariah. Born into a little priestly family, raised by the body, walking in the path of righteousness to save the Lord. And these were people, and we'll see that in a moment. So Zachariah actually lacked faith. There was unbelief in his heart. He knew the promise of God, yet he questioned God. He needed more proof. We'll see how that played out. Zachariah's guilty of doubt. The urge of the devil all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Soon as man's greater, man's greater doubt entered his heart. Then he deserves even interest in the fundamental sin that God cannot be trusted. That God cannot be trusted. The same questioned God's trustworthiness and fell forward. They said, did God really say? Did he really say? Which might have been in his mind. And she began to doubt. And she caused her husband to doubt as well. And he had the presence of God. He had the provisions of God. And Adam and Eve embraced the doubt. They said, and they also embraced that doubt. And it had cast wrong results, as we know. The embrace the idea that God cannot trust him. There must be a question. That he doesn't speak always or perfectly. And he will not fulfill the process he's made. And ever since then, every single person, with exception, has been born a built-in doubt of God in their hearts. A doubt of his goodness. A doubt of his trustworthiness. A doubt of his righteousness and his mercy. And that doubt even continues among the redeemed. The redeemed have doubts. You and I have doubts in our hearts and in our minds. We don't have perfect and absolute faith in God at all times and under all circumstances. We question his goodness at us. It grieves our hearts. It grieves our hearts. It grieves our hearts. We question God's goodness. We wonder if his promises really are for us. Now, there are times we need to question ourselves because we might not be walking righteously before the Lord. We might need to question ourselves. We're not trusting in God for righteousness. Then we need to lead from ourselves and lead to God. But that's not what's going on here. And that's not what's going on in that right heart. The moment we meet him in his soul. He was questioning himself or his walk. He was questioning God in his process. And that was questioning God in his process. He was also questioning God's very nature. Because God is perfect in all ways. He is infinite, eternal, and unchanging. In his being, in his wisdom, in his power, in all the aspects of him, he is perfect in every way. And so when he speaks, it is perfectly true. There's no shade of untruth in God. He's not a human being. When he makes promise, he keeps that promise because he can do no otherwise. He can't change his mind and us. He's perfect in every way. And yet, when the angel Gabriel talks to Zachariah, that people in Zachariah, he's able to hold him in this, he offered God prayer and the people, Gabriel comes to him. And Zachariah is troubled in his heart. Fear overcomes him. He hears the message of good news. He will have a son through his wife, and this son had a remarkable impact on Israel, on the people of Israel. He will have a deep impact, a revival state impact on the people. And after Gabriel delivers the message to Zachariah, Zachariah says, how do I know this is true? How do I know? I'm a man. My Bible is beyond these sparing years. Beats of proof. And that's where sin comes to fruition in Abra, in the temple of the God. He sees Gabriel, who ministers the very presence of the Lord God Almighty, Gabriel, with a messenger of him only speak the truth that God has given him to speak. Of course, Zechariah should have quickly trusted Gabriel, because he spoke on God's behalf. God can't lie. The prophecy is true. The prophecy of Isaiah was soon fulfilled, and Zechariah was promised that his son, the son he'd been waiting for so long, the son would come, and the son would be the forerunner of Messiah. This was great news. And Zechariah should have been overjoyed and ecstatic that he was the son, and not only was he the son, but the son would play such a key and vital role in the redemption of Israel, that he was going to be the father of the prophet, the Baptist, and the Baptist would go forth into the nation, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the Messiah was coming. Zechariah should have been overjoyed, but instead, he had the audacity to say, prove it. I need some variation. I can't trust your word, Gabriel. I can't trust God's word. Wait, he's being very realistic. He's personally with us. I'm old. Elizabeth's old. She's past the childbearing years. I can possibly be. Now, we may be able to forgive Zechariah this curse if he was a man of flesh, a fallen man. But Zechariah was a man of God. You know, he was righteous and walking blessed. He knew God's promise to the Lord God. He knew how God had given Abraham and Sarah in their old age. Zechariah, the God of miracles, of miraculous power. The night is possible for the God. This is a God that delivered the people of Israel from the house of captivity in Egypt. This is a God who manifested on the wilderness by providing Israel with manna from heaven and water from rock. This is a God who vanquished Jericho in a remarkable branch. This is a God who provided the promised land for his people and sustained them through all kinds of trials and trials. This is a God who opened the womb of Elizabeth even in her old age. This is a God who is sovereign over all creation. Zechariah is the heir to say, prove it. I need material verification of this. Man is arrogant and proud. Even Shin man is arrogant and proud. We can fall into the same kind of pattern of thinking and doing as the man of the world, fallen man world. We can fall into that trap. We don't trust the promise of God. And he's spoken, he's promised to save the people for himself. He's promised to be for people. Even when we stumble and fall, he shows us great mercy. And yet, so often, fall into that pattern that the world has. They don't trust God. They don't rest in him. Zechariah was in that dangerous moment. And sure, he was at that time. He was in the temple of the Lord. He was in the very sanctuary where God's presence dwelt. He was offering prayers for his people, behalf of the people of Israel. And outside, people were all praying. Spirit tells them, they're praying too. They're all praying, they're praying the long expected Messiah. Lord, send us out to be so long ago in the world of Bethlehem. Yes, right after the fall, God promises that he will send a Savior who will crush the Satan. The people of God have been looking forward with longing in their hearts to the coming of Messiah ever since then. And was in the altar of incense. One of the important goals there was to offer a prayer, a daily prayer, that God would send the Messiah. And slowly the incense would symbol the prayers that go to heaven. And so, it's critical moment when Zechariah often praying the Messiah, he's questioning Gabriel. And even Gabriel says, all the promises are fulfilled, and your son will be the forerunner, and Messiah will be coming. He needs proof. This is a man who says this moment very weak. Maybe you can identify with him. Maybe you've had struggles to faith in your life. Maybe you're going through school right now. You question the goodness of God. We faith this week. You've read the scriptures. You know the promises. You trust in the God. You're strong. You're trying to walk and sleep with the Lord in success. And yet it can still hurt. You feel times like your feet, like you're behind people all the time. You're strong, but circumstances of life, family, or friends, or work, something else seems always to stand in the way or trip you up. And you're weak. And you want to be sane. And you can identify with Zechariah's moment. Well, Lord God Almighty, so gracious, Zechariah. He's so gracious to us. Listen to the promise that Gabriel gives to the Gabriel gives to Zechariah. Don't be afraid of Zechariah. Where prayers have been heard in your Bible, will hear you and shall call his name, God. And you will have joy, gladness, and anguish by his birth. For he will pray to the Lord, and he will The child will fill the Holy Spirit even in his mother's womb. God is so gracious. He is the Holy Spirit, this little baby who was born. Even in his mother's womb, this man, John the Baptist, will be a remarkable servant of God. He will serve God through day and then. Many people in Israel turn to Jesus. In fact, religious actions will be very, very ambivalent towards John the Baptist. He will experience real hardship and suffering as some of the religious leaders turn to Jesus and raise questions of the earth. And he has the Holy Spirit with him, so that he may prevail. He shall prevail until the end. He will one that he will turn the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him, Spirit and power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and this will be the wisdom of the just. This man, John the Baptist, Zechariah's son, who yet born, this man, John the Baptist, will perform wonderful service to God. He will turn many of us Israel to God. These are the six. We're not attached to God. They're doing their own things. Sometimes the world looks within, and the right church looks within, too. We look at the right church, and sometimes we see what's going on or what's not going on. We say, the world has to encroach on the right church. The little church wonder what's going to happen. We pray that God would bring revival, that he'd bring reform. The church would be revived once again, believing, still living, and true God, in spirit and truth. And that's what John Baptist is doing today. He was going to turn many lives of Israel to God. He's going to do that in his preaching. He's going to do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. But this is what else John Baptist is going to do. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and this will lead to the wisdom of just. John the Baptist is going to have a very deep impact on Israel in his day. The deepest impact possible. He is going to affect fathers. He's going to affect fathers in a very deep and personal way. He's going to affect the hearts of fathers. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Imagine that. God is turning the hearts of the fathers to their children. The family is the basic unit of any society. It is the foundation of any culture around the world throughout the ages in all cultures and societies. Family. And the head of the family is father. God has pointed that way. The father is the head of the family and marks the principles and the soul of the family from the beginning. From the moment that he marries his wife, children from now on needs to be had. Not overlooked and over, but in a gracious and merciful way. Look to Christ as his example and his dad. Many fathers, all fathers, are weak and frail. And they will fall. He faith us. God is so merciful. Listen to what he does. He sends John the Baptist to let John through the power of the Holy Spirit and turn the hearts of fathers to their children. If anyone should rejoice when he hears like this, it should be wives and mothers. Because wives and mothers are nervous to see their husbands and their father children do exactly that. But love their children with all their heart. Fathers, sacrificing themselves, save their families, save their wives, save their children. Loving them, being gracious to them, leading by example, leading according to the biblical principles. Loving their children. Giving them some money, comfort and compassion when they don't need it. Caring for them, catechizing them, straightening them, holding them, encouraging them to cross. I know the whole series is one of their lives. That's what others ought to do. But we can't do it in a flash. Oh, we can do it for time. We can't do it after it. They want to do it in the long run. If we're going to have a deep impact, if we're going to influence our children and affect our neighborhood and our communities and God's grace and nation, then it must be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist is going to be that man for today. He's going to turn and change man's heart so they love their children in a wonderful, heavenly way, in a God-fearing, godly way. And John the Baptist said he's going to turn the deceit to wisdom of the just. Here we see the effects of a godly family on society. As fathers are raising children to fear and admonish the Lord and loving them and showing them grace, it has an effect on society. And John the Baptist, when he claimed this, good news of the Messiah, and one of the effects, fundamental effect, is that he's going to turn from the Spirit of God, he's going to turn the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just. Imagine that. Society, where deceit turned to the wisdom of the just. It's another way to say that revival and reform are on their way. This society that has been lukewarm towards God is going to experience revival, but also reform. Because listen, the wisdom of the just will captivate the mind of the disobedient. They're not going to be anymore. And that's demonstrated by the fact that they suddenly have an interest in the wisdom of the just. Oh, society would look like if the disobedient turned to the wisdom of the just. It's another way of saying that the disobedient rebels are going to come to the Bible, the word of God, and submit to his wisdom and his Lord. And John the Baptist is going to play a role. And Zechariah hears that from Gabriel. Your son is going to play an instrumental role in the revival of the family, and the revival of society, and singing more story. He is also the precursor and forerunner of Messiah, the long-expected Redeemer. God is He knows that Zachariah is his sweet, that is not in his heart, and he shows Zachariah's mercy and sacrifice. He takes away Zachariah's seed so that Zachariah's super time only 9 months ago, because he's a lot more. But God so gracious, he has withhold the promise of the Son, he doesn't fold the promise of Messiah, the Son who has come, the Messiah is on his way. God so gracious, he doesn't let sin his people stand in the way of his plan of redemption. He doesn't let sin stand in the way of his plan of redemption. We are so real, we are so weak, we struggle with doubts and need and gratitude to struggling God. God doesn't let weakness stand in the way of his plan of his purposes. No, he is the strong God, and he will see his purposes fulfilled. And it's not harsh, Zachariah. Take away Zachariah's voice, not harsh. That is what you remember with everything expressed to peace. God takes away the instruments of his voice, and Zachariah has 9 months to contemplate what he has said. He looked inwards, into it, in a corner, he continues to serve, he goes back to his wife, he informs his duties, and 9 months, by the grace of God, and a wonderful miracle, he has a child. God so gracious to us. When we are frail and weak, when we demonstrate that we really aren't trusting wholeheartedly in God, if we don't have 100% faith, God has cast aside. He does say, forget, I'm tired of you, I'm sick of your speed, I'm tired of your rebellion, your sin, your falling temptation, I'm tired of it. And God so gracious, he continues to minister to our hearts. See, and he can be a disciplinarian. He can remove things from our lives, so we experience real hardship, like Zachariah lifting his voice. But these are means that God uses his device to find us. Zachariah was refined by his trial, and he came back bolder than before. When his voice is able to be used again, he declares the ecstasy of God, he sings a song of praise to God, in fact, and declares what a gracious to God he hears. The couple's faith arrived. Elizabeth rejoices to be a child. Zachariah continues to the Lord. Faith is the way after his voice. He is an example and serves. He is an example for all of us. When we go through trials, when we have hardships, when we feel that we are down and God comes along and uses the trial to find us, we need to remember that trial is for our good. The living God has saved the world to save us, and he sends his spirit upon us so that we can be refined, so we will walk in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He is a good and a gracious God, and he will serve us through the end for the sake of his name and his glory. Let's pray.